ויהי בשלח פרעה את העם. And when Pharaoh sent the people, ולא נחם אלוקים דרך ארץ פלישתים כי קרוב הוא. He didn't take them through the land of Palestine because it's close. Why? כי אמר אלוקים, פן ינחם העם בראותם מלחמה ושאר במצרים. They will see a war and they will go back to Egypt. This whole pasuk is a little strange. First of all, who sent Am Yisrael out of Egypt? Pharaoh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them. So what is Vayi B'Shalach Paro? He didn't do anything. And then, why is God taking them in a long way while he can take them in a short way? It says when they see Milchama, they see a war. What's the idea behind it? One of our personal problem is that sometimes we think that we control and we do and we did. This is Vayi B'Shalach Paro. Paro didn't send nobody, God sent him, and we all know it. But Pharaoh thinks he's got something to do with it. And because this is the way he thinks, he is then chasing Am Yisrael again. Because if he was sure that he didn't do anything about it, but Kodesh Baruch Hu, the one and the only one, he wouldn't dare chase Am Yisrael. But unfortunately, sometimes we think that we've got a say, and we do things, and the real truth is that everything is from God. But in each one of us there is a small Pharaoh who sometimes tells us, okay, you did it. You in control, you can do things. We can do nothing. And one of the problems is that Lo Nacham Elokim, why did God take them in a long way? Because V'chamushim Yatzu is written. And V'chamushim, as we remember, we always explain, only Echad Mechamesh, one of five, which is 20%. In other words, with all the miracles and everything going around, only 20% getting out of Egypt. And also, as we said last week, those 20% are not exactly tzaddikim. Among them, there are also idol worshippers and other things. So, we see that even if you see miracles, and even if what you see in front of us is very clear that God is in control, you still have those thoughts that you have a say in what's going on. We think that Bibi Netanyahu, Ahmadinejad, Trump, and all those people, they decide what to do in this world. Maybe they think this way, like Pharaoh. But the real truth is that God is behind everything. But one of the very big problems is you don't confront Yetzer Hara right in front. You don't go and fight against what you have, you know, is going to be a very hard war. You try to avoid the war, or you try to go around it. And that's what God is teaching us in order to understand and realize that God is the one and the only one, and not be tempted to all the desires of this world, and then you find all the excuses of the world to do things that you think that you can do. And this is why the reason that it's unbelievable. The Farsha starts with Pharaoh and it ends with Amalek. That's again the same story. Amalek is also a guy that he says there is no God. Everything is by accident. And everybody hears what's happening. And we say it in Shirat Hayam every day, and we say it in our Parsha. Az nivalu alufei Edom. אלי מועד יוחזה מועד נמוגו כל יושבי כנען טיפול עליהם אבטה ופחד. They're all frightened, all the nations, but they heard what God did. But there is one who doesn't care, and he comes and fights. And this is something that we have to understand. How can it be? One of the big problems is that we live in this world and we think that it's a real world, because that's the way we feel, that's the way we act, and that's the influence of it is so strong that we don't understand that really this whole thing is alma de shikra. That's not the truth, that's a lie. That's something that we have to go through in order to get to the next world. And what is Pharaoh telling himself? Am Yisrael walking in the desert, going out of Egypt, and then God tells them, go back and stand in front of the sea. And Am Yisrael are frightened. And Pharaoh is telling to himself,
what I did, he let them go.
Sorry?
He said, what I did?
Not only, he says, Va'amar Pharaoh lifnei Yisrael, nevuchim hem ba'aretz. What is nevuchim hem ba'aretz? In Pasuk Bet, in Perek Yudalet.
Dalet Bet.
Pasuk Gimel, sorry.
Yudalet?
Gimel.
Perek Yudalet. It's the next Perek from the beginning. The next Perek. And the Pasuk Gimel is telling us, Va'amar Pharaoh livnei Yisrael, nevuchim hem ba'aretz. What is nevuchim? How you translate nevuchim? Now, what is Navoch? Navoch is somebody who is doesn't know what to do. He is muddled up.
They are trapped.
Yeah, it's Nevuchim. I don't know if it's trapped. Nevuchim is more
imprisoned in the land.
Yeah, but that's not. If I want to say Nevuchim in is that's the if I want to say Nevuchim in Hebrew, Navoch is somebody that is. It's not a nebuch. It's like a nebuch. He doesn't know what to do. He's in navoch. He doesn't know what to do. Go right, go left. What's going on here?
Confused.
He's confused. That is navoch. But here, I don't know. This is very interesting. What? How they
he
translate?
They translate a trap. Huh? Trapped.
Entangled. I don't know this word.
Trapped.
Entangled.
Yeah. Here is trapped. Okay.
Anyway, exactly. So, nevuchim is from the same thing. Like, how did we say? Nevuchim is like
confused.
Confused will be the right word. They are confused. They don't know what to do. Why? One side is the sea. The other side, the Egyptian, and they are confused. So, Pharaoh is telling to himself and telling it to Abisra. They're confused. They don't know what to do. So, in other words, this whole thing, what's going on here, this is my chance. Now I'm going to get them. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do. It looks like they don't want to know what to do. And this is one of our problems. We are also confused. We live in a world that we are surrounded with a lot of things that are look to us very real in our eyes. So we're confused. What to do? You see, everybody is going around, running after his desires, enjoying life. And we have to do this. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do this. And you're telling yourself, what's happening here? You're confused. What should I do? And here is when Pharaoh comes and tells you, let's do what we want to do. Let's enjoy life. And Amalek is telling us, there is no God. Leave it all nonsense. Do what you want. Nevuchim hem ba'aretz.
You know, here in the explanation, it says that they are entangled, they are hemmed in and sunk deep.
They're hemmed in.
Sunk deep? No, because when you are in your routine and you are doing all the things you don't want to go out. You are sunk in, no?
Also, let's say you're confused. You don't know what to do. You are so deep in the problem that you don't know what to do. It's like sometimes you stand in a position that it looks like that's it. I've got no way
and
to go.
You're at the crossroads.
Yes. So what should I go? What should I do? I don't know what to do. And you see, I'm Israel all the time. They want to go back to Egypt. It's like, think to yourself, what did they have in Egypt? And it's also what we have to understand. You know, the idea is very clear. Because why do they want to go back to Egypt? Because they think, what's going on in their mind? That what they think, till a year ago, we were slaves. But when the plague started, the slavery also stopped. And after all the going, all the Egyptians saw the miracles and saw the power of God. They're all frightened of God. In other words, if we go back to Egypt now, we are not only we don't have to be afraid of nobody, they're afraid of us. In other words, we will be again in control. We again will be princes, even more than in the past. And if we just tell those Egyptians that we are not thinking about going to Eretz Israel, and we take out from the prayer book all the what is mentioning Zion, Yerushalayim. This is exactly what the Reform movement did. They thought to themselves, they're going to love us. If you're going to stay there and be like them, and behave like them, and take out of our prayers all this idea of going to another country, like we are patriot, we are going, we love the country we live in. If it's England, it's England. If it's France, it's France. And if it's the States, it's the States, whatever, wherever we are. Or in Germany, that's where it all started. They say, you be a Jew inside your house and a German outside. And that's when everything started. That's the same old story. Thinking that you can go back to Egypt, and if you take out all the idea of being, let's say, have the desire to go to another country, which will show that you are not exactly a citizen of the country here, but you're going to take this out. You're going to come back to show everybody, yes, I am a proud Egyptian. And because all the place, everybody's afraid of you, so everybody's going to love you and cherish you. And we all know it's not true. But that's exactly the job of Pharaoh and Amalek.
I want to ask you something. It's they didn't have the Bechira Chofshi, because the Jews that didn't want to go out, they died. Yes, it was an imposition from Hashem. No.
No, not
it
exactly,
wasn't a
because
Bechira
it was a Bechira
Chofshi. They can't stay or go or.
It was a Bechira Chofshi. Because they had the choice. Only at the plague of darkness they died.
Yeah.
But till then, they had the free choice to choose to come with the Am Yisrael out of Egypt. They didn't want to. In other words, you see, God gives us a chance, and another chance, and another chance. As the Rambam writes, sometimes you get to a position where God is preventing you of doing tshuva. Because that's it. You know, he gave you all the chances, and you didn't do anything about it. So that's it, you lost it. That is exactly what's happening. He didn't just come to us, oh, you want to go out? Oh, no? Okay, I'm going to kill you. That was not the idea. This was a plague. And another plague, and another plague, and another plague. And with all those things happening around, you have those 80% that didn't want to go out of Egypt. It's terrible. And you see also that those who did go out of Egypt also were not all tzaddikim. So in other words, even if you see miracles in front of your eyes, it's not, let's say, not sometimes not going to make you be a believer. Maybe you believe, yeah, you convince yourself not to be a believer. You convince yourself to go after your desires. Because this is our main problem. And what is emunah? What is belief? So all those parashot that we're learning now, that's the basic of emunah. That's the basic of belief. What is the whole idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim? Proving the whole world that God is the one and the only one and he created the world. And you get to a point that all the nations are frightened, as we said. But there is this Amalek, that with all this going on, he fights against us. And you have to understand, you know, when you look at the Goyim, we talked about it this week also. When you look at the Goyim, you will see that when you come to the point of truth, they do know that there is a God. And they do know that the Torah is the real thing. But they don't want to do it. They don't want to believe it. So what do? They fight it. Again, the same thing what Amalek is doing. If I want to go on living lalalem and do whatever I want to, so I'm going to fight everything, anything that is going to show me the truth. Because when if I see the truth, I have to change my way. And I don't want to change my way. You think about it. All those 80%, and from the 20% that were left out, how can somebody there worship idols after seeing what they saw? Think about it for a minute. How? How is it possible? And you know, after they go through the ocean, through the sea, still there are people that worship idols. How can it be? And that's by the way, a proof from one side to those who say, if you show me miracles, I'm going to do tshuva. We see it doesn't work this way.
But listen, even they worship others, even after the many years after, all the time. Till the rabbis make a decree and ask but for Shem to cancel.
You know.
And it's so stupid. How you can...
Okay, but you see, what you're saying is all right. Okay, but...
And the same
this
thing
is years after. But I'm talking with you while the miracle is happening and 2 minutes after. I'm not talking about 100 years later or 1,000 years later.
Yeah,
then you can maybe understand, you know...
No,
they were fighting in the streets. If somebody said something about God, they were calling it adata, and were all the papers full up. They tried to make false religion on us. So after a while, people stopped forcing religion or talking about religion. You can look at it this way. So when you wait enough time, people will stop believing. If there is nobody to strengthen our belief. If there's nobody to learn the Torah and to learn about the miracles and to look at nature and ask who is behind it, if there is nobody is doing it, but everybody is going on with life, yes. So generation after generation. By the way, this is what happened in Egypt. It's the same procedure. You have to understand, really, they were there for a few hundred years. It's the third generation, fourth generation that lived in slavery with idol worshippers around them. What do you want from them? So that's the reason God is doing all those miracles, in order to straighten them up and show them, I am God. Because otherwise, God could punish them from the beginning. He says, okay, you don't believe me? Okay, go, I don't want you. That's not what God is doing. God is trying to convince us to do the right thing. And he's trying very hard. Imagine to yourself, be a part of Am Yisrael at a time like this, that you have all those miracles going on. And imagine to yourself that after you saw all those miracles, and you went through the ocean, through the sea, and you saw the big miracle of the sea, Shirat Hayam, and after all of this, you still worship idols? This is something not to believe. Logically. But here is one logic. This one only logic is that we are tempted and we want to be tempted by this world, by the joys of this world. And it's very hard when you see everything going around you not to be tempted. It's very hard. And, you know, when we're talking about the sea, it's written, והמים להם חומה מימינם ומשמאלם. We talked about it a lot. It says, בני ישראל הולכים ביבשה בתוך הים. Am Israel going on solid land in...
Dry land.
Dry land. Solid dry land. In the middle of the sea. And the water is a wall from the right and from the left. And it should be written, and the sea is a wall on the right and on the left. Because you say... בני ישראל הולכים ביבשה בתוך הים. They're walking in the sea. And then should be the wall is from the sea. The sea is the wall. But not in the mind. Suddenly it's being changed. It's not the yam, it's the mind. What's the difference between mayim and yam? Yam is nature. The mighty nature. And mayim is Torah. And the only thing that gives us the power to walk on dry land in the middle of this ocean, in the middle of the storms around us, is when we make the Torah a wall on the right and on the left. Otherwise, we will drown like the Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And by the way, in Hebrew, teva,
yes,
is litvoa.
Litvoa
bateva. That's exactly what's happening. They drown in nature. So what gives Am Yisrael the power? Hamayim. And that's the only thing that can give us the power to fight nature. Or in other words, to understand that nature is really God. And with all this, we see that still there is a problem. And this is the confusion. Mevochim hem. Because from one side, they tell you, you have to believe in God. You have to do the mitzvahs. From the other side, you see what's going on around you. People are enjoying life. They do what they want. They eat what they want. They do anything that they think they do. And it looks from the outside that they're enjoying themselves. And we also want to enjoy life. So you're tempted. And Amalek and Pharaoh are working on us and trying to convince us to go in their own way. Run after our desires. Run after the lust.
Joseph received a WhatsApp from a Chinese eating rats with sauce, thinking with the...
No, but... Alive rats. They are not cooked, they are not dyed, they are...
I cannot believe.
Well, I'm sure God
that's what they say, that because they eat all those things, that God punished them with a plague that came through those animals.
Yeah.
But, the thing is that everything that's going on in the world is first of all a sign for us. Unfortunately, you go on the street, you see a lot of not kosher places. They sell meat that you're not allowed to eat and a lot of other things. It's also it's a warning light for us. The same way as in Egypt. That's the same old story. Nothing changed. The same old story. The confusion is to... See, we are very easily... led by the public, by the society. If you live in a place where everybody is doing something, you will find yourself doing the same thing, unless you're very strong in your way and you know that your way is the right way. That's why we're sitting and learning, that nobody will confuse us, that we understand that we are on the right way. It's like doing the right thing is not easy when everybody is doing something else. Like I think I told you, my brother wrote a book, The Good, the Evil, and the Ugly in the Internet. And in one of those, in one of the pages of the book, it brings a test that a psychologist named Solomon Asch did. It's a very famous test experiment. He took seven people. One of them was the guy that on him they do the test. All the others were a part of the experiment. And they put all those seven or eight people in a room. And in front of them there was a board. And on the board, the guy put lines. A short line, a long line. And then he asked them all a question: what is the longest line, for example? And the first one showed everybody the line he thinks. The second one also the same line that the first one did. The thing is that what they were showing, it was not the longest line. It was definitely, if somebody looks in the eyes, not was very close to be the shortest line and not the longest line. But the first one said it is the longest line, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, the sixth one, and also the seventh one. What do you think it did the say? The one that on him they did the experiment, what do you think he did?
The same line. The
same thing. Though it was very clear that it's the wrong answer. Then, in order to be truthful, they did the same experiment with eight people that all of them are being tested. In other words, they're all being asked the question and they have to answer. And in this test, everybody did the right answer. Because there was no influence to change your mind. So the test shows very clearly that even if the truth is in front of your eyes, if all the other people will tell you that the truth is different, you're going to do what they do. You're going to be influenced and convince yourself that you are wrong. Something is wrong with you. You don't see the right picture, because if everybody is telling you that's the right thing, so it must be the right thing, even though it's not the right thing. And it happens in life a lot. Here it was very clear, yes? But sometimes in life you have those places where you don't know. This is confused. Nevuchim and Bamidbar. You don't know what to do. You don't know what side to choose. And then it's very easy to be tempted to the side that everybody is choosing. It's like this guy was asked by a priest, you say that achrei rabim la'atot, that you have to justify the many, if there is an argument between many and few, who are you going to do what the many say? Achrei rabim la'atot. When there is a machloket, achrei rabim la'atot, it says, so you all Jews, you have to change yourself and be Christian, because we are the majority. And from this point of view, is quite right, because the majority are Christians and not Jews. The Jews are a minority. But if they tell you that a watermelon is sour, is salty, if you never tasted a watermelon, and you have 10 people that tell you that the watermelon is salty, you're going to believe them that the watermelon is salty. But after you taste it, and you know it's sweet, and those 10 people are going to tell you it is not sweet, you know it's sweet. So they cannot convince you. But what we learn here, that even if you know the truth, sometimes
you fall.
You can fall. And that's a terrible thing. That's Amalek. We have to be very careful. The only way to do the right thing is when we walk in this nature, in the teva, in the ocean that surrounds us with all the storms and everything, if we go with the wall of the Torah. That's the only thing way is going to tell us. By the way, you know, Mark, he used to come, the doctor, what's his name?
May.
Yes, he used to come sometimes to the shiur. And he told me a few years ago, last year, I don't remember when it was, a very interesting story about his son. His son is also a doctor and he's very busy all day. And he told me he doesn't sleep enough. And though he doesn't sleep enough and he needs the sleep, he every day has got the time that he learns Torah. One day when he was visiting his son, and his son came quite late that night home, and you saw he was very tired. And while they were speaking, there was a knock at the door, and in comes a Jewish guy with a beard, like a rabbi. And he sits with his son on the table and learning Daf Yomi or whatever it was, Gemara. And his son was like, you know, and very shortly, after a few seconds, he's just fall asleep. And this guy is lecturing, and his son is sleeping. So afterwards, this Mark asked his son, what did you do? You didn't learn anything. You were sleeping. What's this all? Why didn't you just tell the guy, okay, I'm very tired, I'm going to sleep, you know. What's the idea here? He says, Father, you didn't understand. You know, this guy, he needs money. And I thought of a way, how can I give him money in a very
Menschlich
way to do it, like, not like giving tzedakah. So I said, you know what? I want to learn with you. Now, this guy thinks I'm paying him for me, so he teaches me Gemara. And he is quite satisfied. Like he's doing something, he's getting money for a job. So I'm earning two things here. I'm sleeping and also doing a mitzvah. And I like the story.
Yes.
In other words, when you go in the way of the Torah, you will always find a way to do good, to do the right thing. But in order to do this, you have to know who you're standing in front. We're standing in front of an enemy that is very, very strong. And alone, we cannot win the war. We need the help of God. We need to understand it, and we need to learn more and more how to do the right things in the eyes of God.
I have a question.
Yes.
After the Am Israel crossed the Yam Suf, the women begin to, with Miriam, the women begin
yes.
to
sing, yeah.
To sing and to play a tof. It's not a tovim, tupim.
Tupim, yes.
From where there is explanation, I know.
Yes.
But it's an explanation that is not satisfied. The women knew that they will use dance, and they didn't even know they will cross the Red Sea. They didn't even imagine. So why they took the tupim? From where? They are rushing. They didn't even have time to bake bread. They had to matzah. And suddenly they took the tupim. So what is the explanation?
You know, it's the same thing. You ask me, why did the women took their gold with them?
No, tupim is not gold.
What? Depends to who?
But all the
you
women...
You take what is precious to you.
All the women.
Yes, because for women, singing and doing music was very important. You don't understand it, because think about something you love, you really love. And now they give you a chance. Okay, now you have, let's say, half an hour to organize yourself. Take whatever you want. You will choose the things that you love. And sometimes it can be a picture that you can very well live without a picture. But picture is memories. You want to, you know, people sometimes, Chas v'Shalom, happens some disaster, a flood or something, and they lose all the pictures of the family. They feel terrible about it. And what did they lose? They didn't lose their life, Baruch Hashem. It's not even property, okay? It's just pictures. But this is your memories. So in other words, first of all, when you're going out of Israel, think about in a way that, let's say, women think. We are going to have a party. After we finish this, so we have to be prepared. You know, my wife, she's got guests on, let's say, on Saturday, on Shabbos. On Sunday, the table is already organized for Shabbos.
For the next Shabbos?
Yes. Because she has visitor. You can come in the middle of the week, if we have visitor on Shabbos, the table is already organized for Shabbos. Wow. What's going on? That's the way they think. Some people. Okay? That's a women thing. You know, they want things to be ready. Sometimes they take those things. It's just like, I've got a bag that I take with me everywhere. And I've got all those strange things there. But everybody laughs at me. But somewhere my son needs an earplug or something, I've got it. He needs this, I've got it. Says, you've got everything. Says, now when you need it, you say, how good that you have it. And it's the same thing. You know, everybody prepares himself. You know, you go to a journey. What do you take with yourself? For I'm saying today, which you know you cannot take everything because it's very today they're very strict about it. So you choose carefully, but sometimes you will still take something that is very important for you, though maybe other people will not understand why you're doing it. For example, I take my books, and it's heavy, but for me it's important, so I take the books. So the same way you're asking, why do they take drums and things like this? Because from them it was important that even the time will come, they will sing to God and praise God and say thank you in the best way they can. When a man organizes a party for his son, or a woman organizes a party, believe me, you will see the difference. You will see the difference. How it looks, yes? It's like I told you always, the Rabbi Yisachar Frant from the States, He's very good. And one of the stories he tells that once he came back from a wedding, and the next morning, you know, every morning he used to talk with his mom, and his mom is phoning, how are you, my dear son, and thing, oh, you were in the wedding? He said, oh, yes, how was it? Nice. What did you eat? Very good. What is that? Okay, give me your wife. Now, what he said in 2 minutes, his wife was standing half an hour on the phone. How was the wedding? Oh, you have to, what they were wearing, what they, this, my, oh, all the details, everything. Like my wife, we had a Brit yesterday, says, did you see what this and this
where?
Says, no. Did you see? No.
Yeah, the women's
because are you see, everybody's got his interest in something, and that's the way that's the world. So, I've got no problem with it. It's a good question, but it's also a good answer to understand really that everybody's got something that are important for him in life. The point is, make sure that those things are really important and not nonsense. In other words, if those are going to be tools to worship God, then it's important for you. Everybody's got his own tools. Talking about Amalek, so I wrote this week for the Parsha, I wrote about Amalek, and I talked about this week already, and I'm going to talk with you now also. I met Amalek last week. Yes. I met Amalek, yes, yes. I had a very interesting meeting with Amalek. Last week, they asked us to come and give an offer for to furnish a school, a michlala, whatever it is, a school in Nazareth. Nazareth is a place where Arabs live, Israeli Arabs, Christians and Muslims. Anyway, we get there, and this guy, very nice guy, is an Arab, doesn't believe in God. You know, till that moment in life, I didn't meet a real atheist, how do you say? Atheist but doesn't believe in God.
You went there.
How did I go? I didn't know.
No, how do you know he doesn't believe in God?
We were talking for 2 hours.
Ah, I thought you were going to make business, not to talk.
Yeah, I also thought. But this guy was in an ego trip. He's got 3 doctor degrees in philosophy, in English, and in biochemistry, something like this. He's got 3 patents sold all over the world. He's got a house in London. Here he lives, renting a place, maybe in a kibbutz, in a Jewish kibbutz, kibbutz Kadarim. He is married for 11 years, got no kids from choice, from free choice. He decided with his wife, they're not going to bring kids to this world. Because this is a corrupt world. And if he had the opportunity to choose if to come to this world or not, he wouldn't come to this world. He is blaming this world with everything. Like all those diseases. And for example, the last one, which was the corona virus, he said that's a conspiracy of the pharmaceutical firms that they spread this virus. They've got already the antidotes in order to cure it, in order to make billions on this disease. And he was going on and on and on about himself. Wow. He also tried to convince us that he wants us to eat with him. And he sees that we have got the kippah and we've got tzitzis outside. And he understands that we eat kosher. He's not stupid. He's very clever. Very clever guy. And you know, from the argument, I had to hold myself not to answer because, as you said, I came to business. I didn't come to have a philosophical argument. No. That's not the idea.
No.
But I said, look what God is showing me. You know, if I thought, what is Amalek? How can it be that somebody that sees everything going around this world not to believe in God? How can somebody say that everything is an accident and everything is in the hands of nature? And I'm the God of myself because there is no other God. He says, yes, there is this being that we cannot explain that maybe created the world. But that's it. You are in your own hands. And look what you've got. Look at this world. And he's going on and on. And I told myself, really? This was unbelievable. You know, to meet a guy. And now I understand, what is Pharaoh and what is Amalek? It comes from an ego trip. You know, somebody not willing to bring kids to this world is very egoistic. Think about it.
Of course.
It's being egoistic in the highest level that can be. This guy cares only about himself. He doesn't care about any other. He doesn't care what's going to happen after he's gone. That's Amalek. And if you think about it, we've got this Amalek inside us sometimes. Also, trying to convince us that there is no God, that we can do what we want, that we are the important thing. What did Pharaoh say? I am God. I created myself. I created the Yaor. That's what he said. And that was this guy was saying. So after meeting this Amalek, and it was going on, he could speak, like he was so impressed with himself that he could speak the whole day long.
And he lived among the Arabs and the Muslims?
Yes.
That's unusual.
Nasrat, it can happen.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of intelligent people there. And by the way, one of the big problems there is that they mingle among the Jews also. And I read an article last week that it's not only Nasrat, or what they call now the Jewish part, which they changed the name to Nof something. It was Nasrat Elite. Now it's a different name.
Yes.
But there are a lot of Arabs, Muslims, and especially Christians that live among the Jews.
On the Shabbat.
Where we were on the Shabbat. There. That's a lot of, and they told us there. And then you have to understand, it's not only there. It happens in Tel Aviv, it happens in Haifa, definitely, and it happens in a lot of other places. You see, the young couples, the Arab young couples, the intelligent one, they don't want to live among their people. It's terrible there. It's the dirty, it's old houses. They want to live in a high level of living, the standard of living. And they haven't got it there. So they go, it's not that they want to live with us. They haven't got another option, which is terrible from one side, but from the other side, they are mingling amongst us. So Nasrat definitely can be the something, and he's very intelligent. I must say he's very intelligent. He's now doing another doctorate in something.
Like all the professors from these universities.
Yes, but that's exactly what you see. You see, till you don't meet it in front of you, and you really speak with a guy like this, you don't understand what it's all about. Okay, they talk, they say. But then this guy is really trying to convince you in a philosophical, he's clever. He's trying to convince you that there is no God. That's all nonsense. It's all us. We are controlling the world. We are doing the world what it is.
And the stories from the Torah are like...
Stories.
Yes.
Stories.
Did you?
A man wrote them, all those stories.
Yeah.
Did you sell the furniture to him?
Yes.
Okay.
Baruch Hashem.
Did he pay you?
Yes.
Okay. Fair.
And Bezrat Hashem is going to pay more and buy more.
Okay.
But you see, for me, it was a lesson, an unbelievable lesson. Like, I didn't go into the argument because I came to do business, but he understood that, like when he tried to convince us to eat with him, and I explained to him, sorry, no, what kosher, all those nonsense, all those religious invention of the Christian, the Muslims, the Jews, all nonsense. Amalek. And we have to be very careful.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes the best thing is not to argue with a guy like this.
Yeah, of course.
Because this guy, you're not going to convince him in anything.
Opposite. Maybe he can convince you.
So, with this guy, you don't argue. You do the business, give me your money, and bye-bye.
That's right.
But then, Baruch Hashem, on the way back, God showed me the other side of the picture. It was quite late, and we wanted to pray to Daven Mincha and Maariv in a minyan. And, we're going from Nasrat, definitely we'll not find a shul there. We'll find maybe a church or a mosque. So on the way, we see a sign on one of the villages, Mincha at that and that time and Maariv. Mm-hmm. So we go in, and to cut a long story short, it was Kfar...
What, it's a kibbutz?
No, it's a village, it's a Kfar... Kfar, not Kfar Daniel, Kfar Gidon. It's near Afula. It's very interesting. It's, and they say the time of the mincha, it wasn't the time, it was not then, and they said that after mincha, that for a few minutes they'd have something, a shiur, and then they do mari, but that's not what happened. We were there, I think, around 2 hours. But okay, we're stuck there, but I thank God for it. Because between mincha and mariv, they had the rabbi giving a shiur. And it was very interesting. We're talking about kilaim. Kilaim is when you grow different sorts of plants together. You're not allowed to do this. Now, you have to understand, you're talking about farmers. Religious, ultra-Orthodox Jews with beards and hats. And suddenly you realize those people are learning about something that when you learn it, it doesn't talk to you. You're just learning in a very dry way. You're not allowed to grow this with this. But these are really halakha lemaaseh. They are talking and learning about things that they practice. It was unbelievable an experience to see the arguments between them, the discussion about what you allowed and not allowed. And you realize that they're talking about real things. Because they've got those things happening to them. Because it's not always that you plant the two kinds of things. Sometimes nature grows for benzan, seora. I don't know how you say seora in English. You have chita seora. The barley sometimes grows by itself. And it grows in the middle of thing, and then you have to cut it off. It's a problem. And you have, let's say, a vineyard, and then things are growing near the tree, also a problem. And you see this discussion, says, wow, this was unbelievable. To see people that are learning the Torah and practicing it with mitzvot atluyot be'eretz HaKodesh, doing the mitzvahs in Holy Land, this is the fight against Amalek.
That was your reward.
Yes, I'm saying that this was exactly to show you've got this Amalek there, but here, look at this. Here you have olchim bayabasha betoch hayam, going on a solid ground, on a dry land, in the middle of the ocean with all the desires and lust. And the water of the Torah is their wall. They live it. They really live it. We learn all those things. If it's Shemitah, I could not even imagine how it should look Shemitah in a place like this. Like all those people sitting and learning the whole day for a whole year.
You didn't ask him?
I didn't ask him. It was enough for me to have to, let's say, to straighten my mind after what I the meeting I had with Amalek. And this is why our parsha starts Vayi b'shalach paro and ends Vayavo Amalek. And in between, unfortunately, we see Am Yisrael themselves every minute want to go back to Egypt. And this is our fight. Seeing all those miracles and still wanting to go back to Egypt, unbelievable. But that's exactly our fight. We live in this world. And the neshama is inside of a body. And the body wants the choice of the life. And this is, he's going to try and convince you in any possible way to run after your desires. And we see it all the time. And sometimes we fall. So this is why we learn it. This is why the basic of our belief is Yetziat Mitzrayim. And as I said also, I heard last week Drasha from the Rav of Petach Tikva, of Micha Alevi. And he said something very interesting. He said, you know, we say Yetziat Mitzrayim. What is the translation, the exact translation of Yetziat Mitzrayim? How would you translate it? Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Going out from Mitzrayim.
Yetziat Mitzrayim. Think about it. Yetziat Mitzrayim. If I want to say what you say, it should be Yetziah mi Mitzrayim. I didn't think about it. But really, we say Yetziat Mitzrayim. What Yetziat Mitzrayim is Egypt going out. Not us going out of Egypt. Egypt going out of us. And this is the crucial point. It's not getting out of Egypt. It's taking Egypt out of us. It's inside us. This is Amalek and this is Pharaoh. And this is Yetziat Mitzrayim. The basic of Emuna, take Egypt out. Put it in the right place. Don't let it be inside you. Take it out. Throw Amalek and Pharaoh out. Then you have Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's why we remember it every day. And one night, we sit the whole night and tell the story about Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Correct.